Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Well, I'm sure many of you have heard of the Great Wall of China. It is an incredible wall that has been built. It was built in 200 BC. It was completed around 1300 AD. And in 2007, it was actually declared to be one of the new seven wonders of the world by UNESCO. And it is acknowledged, wait for it, as the largest man-made object in the world. Now, some of you would be like, really? Is that true? 100%. Actually, some of you may not know this because I certainly didn't know it. How long do you think the Great Wall of China is? Well, I would have thought it's, I don't know, maybe a couple of thousand kilometres long or something. Did you know that it is 21,000 kilometres long? Do you know how far that is, friends? That's from Melbourne to London and then from London to Moscow. That's how long this wall is. And you're thinking, how could that be? Because China's not that big. Well, it actually goes around in circles and it turns on itself and it goes around and it squiggles its way throughout China. 21,000 kilometres of wall. And that wall protected China and the Ming Dynasty for hundreds of years, guys. Hundreds of years. And eventually it was overcome. And an attacking army was able to get through and to then overcome that particular dynasty at the time. And that happened in 1644. A little bit of history for you today. 1644. And some of you are wondering, gee, I wonder how they actually got through this wall because it was high. And actually, some of you can see this thing right behind me. It was very difficult to get through. In some places, it was up on mountaintops. And so you're probably wondering, I wonder what contraption they built. Maybe they did what the Romans did and built large ladders to get up over this thing. Maybe they poured hot oil over the armies that were attacking. What did they do to get through this wall? Well, funny enough, all it took was a Ming general who simply opened the eastern gate. That's how the enemy got through. Someone just decided to open up a very small gate. Can you believe that? That blows my mind. Well, you know, in the same way. I don't know whether you realize this or not, but you know, around your life, around your relationship, around your children and your finance and your home, did you know the Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus, God's angels and God's Holy Spirit protects us? Did you know that? You are protected. We read about this in Job where he used to make sacrifices and the Bible says that he created a hedge around his home. Do you know, we are protected. Psalm 91 tells us that we are protected by God and by the blood of Jesus. Now that may freak you out. Maybe you're watching for the very first time. What's that all about? Friends, the blood of Jesus is so powerful that demonic spirits don't want to come anywhere near it and it protects our life. And you know, in the same way as the Mongol armies couldn't get through, they could not get through that wall until a Ming general literally opened up a small door. Friends, you know, in our lives, it is the same thing. The enemy cannot get through that barrier that Jesus has set up unless we actually open up a small door. And I just want to talk to you guys today about sweating the small things. I want us to have, I want to put an emphasis on the small doors that we open. You know, a small door brought down a large empire. Now, I'm sure that you guys are aware that there is a spiritual attack, no doubt about it, from the enemy against our relationships, against our friendships, relationships between a husband and a wife or a mum and a dad with their children. There's no doubt about it. The enemy doesn't like us having fruitful, loving relationships. And so he comes against us. And then we often call these things a spiritual attack. You know, if a relationship isn't going too well, we say, gee, I feel like we're being spiritually attacked. And what people mean by that, maybe you're watching for the first time, you're thinking, what does that mean? You know what? A spiritual attack is when out of nowhere, for a reason that we cannot think of, things start falling apart quickly. We start saying things, doing things, feeling things that just come out of nowhere. We start thinking things that are out of our normal thought patterns or behavior. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says this, it says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies," it says, "but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world," and it says, "against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." What's that saying to us? Friends, you are in a battle that is unseen. Yes, there is an enemy that would love to get to you. But often, friends, what we think is a spiritual attack is just someone being spiritually slack. Oh, I'm going to say that again. Often what we think is a spiritual force coming against us, which there's no doubt about it, it's trying to, but often we blame all the negatives in our relationships and in our world against the enemy. The devil made me do it. It's a demon that's coming against me. It's often not, friend. It's often someone is opening a small door that's allowing the enemy to come into our lives. And, you know, there was a book that was called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff by a guy called Richard Carlson. And it was a book about, you know, basically frying the big fish and don't be fretting about all the small stuff in life. But friends, the Bible's pretty clear about powerful things happening when we actually do concentrate on the small, because the small is really important. Do you know, every human being started off very small. And then we become the most sophisticated beings on the face of this planet. We are so complicated, but we started off as small. A large tree, if you walk through the forest and you see a tree, remember that tree started off as a very small seed. And I want to make this statement, friends. Small leaks sink big ships. And so I want to encourage us today to focus on the small and to close the small doors in our world that could be bringing the havoc that we don't want, could be causing the trouble that's causing us pain. Because we do serve a God who's desperately trying to protect us, but we are like that General Ming soldier opening up small doors, allowing the army and giving them a right to come into our lives. Is anyone hearing me today? Amen? So the Song of Solomon gets a little bit raunchy, the Song of Solomon's. Especially chapter 2 and verses 15. And yeah, it's almost, you know, not PG, to be honest, in some places. But there's a place there where it's talking about relationships. And this is a section where it's actually talking to a young woman. And it says this, it says, "Catch all the foxes, those little foxes, before they ruin the vineyard of love, for the grapevines are blossoming." It's actually saying, you know, back in these days, still till this day, when people are creating an orchard or a vineyard, the foxes would come along and actually start eating the grapes and destroying the crop. And they were little foxes. They weren't large animals, just little foxes. And I like the way it says, catch the small foxes, the little foxes. Friends, you know, in our relationships, there's little foxes. And I'm glad that it uses the word foxes, because foxes are known to be cunning. They attack at night. They kill secretly. And did you know when a fox does find itself in a chicken coop, it doesn't just kill one chicken, it kills them all. It kills everything. And the Bible is saying, hey, listen, catch the small foxes. I wonder if there's any small foxes in our relationship right now that we're just thinking, oh, they're pretty harmless. No, friend, let's catch those small foxes and let's continue to build a strong wall around our lives so that we don't find ourselves being destroyed by an army. Do you know, let me just make this statement to you. Don't open the small door of an inappropriate conversation. Did you hear that? Sometimes we just think, oh, it's just a small inappropriate conversation. Friends, don't open that door. Don't open that door in your great wall that God has built around you. Don't you open that door. I was just talking to somebody recently and this young man was saying that he's lost his love for his wife. He's completely lost his love for her. And I said, is there a reason why you've lost your love? Like, were you once in love? Oh yes, he says. Are you in love today? No, I've just lost it. And it seems like their relationship is going to end. And I said, did something happen? And he said, well, truth be told, she started talking to somebody on Facebook, just a conversation with some gentleman. And, you know, she opened a small door. It was just a little, tiny, inappropriate conversation. But you know what? When he found out about it, it just killed his love for her. I wonder if she knew that that door she was opening, such a small door, could wreak such havoc on her relationship. She's today grieving over something that she actually did. Come on, friends, we've got to rise up and understand how this all works. Don't open the small door to a mind-altering substance. You know, there's people who are taking things, they're drinking things, that will ultimately bring some destructive behavior into your life. Oh, it's just a small drink, or it's just a small... Now, believe me, I'm not talking about having a glass of wine with your meal. I'm talking about when people drink enough that they start to not be in control of their mind or their lips or their hands. Those things are just small things. But friends, it has the power to open a small door. It's just a small door. Hey, listen, don't open the small door of a lie to your partner. Do you know, I decided a long time ago that if I have to lie about anything to my wife, it's a sign that I'm opening up a small door. I've made a decision. I don't care what the consequence, but when my wife asks me a question, I'm going to always give her the right answer. I'm going to give her the correct answer. I'm going to give her the honest answer, because it's a sign to me, if I don't want to tell her the truth, then maybe I am opening a door. Why don't I want to tell her the truth? If she's asked me about finances or who I was with or where I went, if I don't want to be honest about that, that's a good sign that you're opening a door. Now, can I go a little bit deeper? Now, listen, I need you to hold on tight. If you're watching for the very first time, you're thinking, whoa, what's going on here? Friends, this is just, I'm being just truthfully honest with you today because I want to help you. Are you, well, let me ask you a question. What shows are you watching at the moment? Are you opening small doors, just a small one, that could lead to bigger things for your own family? Just recently, Helen and I sat down to watch a little bit of Netflix, as I'm sure all of you are. And I don't know about you, but it's just getting harder and harder to find something that's interesting. And so we start flicking through, and then eventually we find this new show, and I can't even remember what it was called, but it's got some young lady in it, and it looked like it was going to be a quirky comedy or something. And we start watching it, and it just starts off with this really vulgar sort of language about sex and inappropriate things, and within the first 5 minutes, I said to Helen, what do you think? And she said, I don't think we need that stuff in our mind. And I said, I absolutely agree. Now, you know what? I'm sure many of you have done that, but can I encourage you to keep doing that? Because I don't need any more lustful thoughts. I don't need any more filthy thoughts in my mind. No, friend, I don't want to open that door and then open up my whole family to an attitude of a spirit of lust coming into our home. And I just don't want that in my home. So why would I open that door? So we just turned it off and found something else, and we really enjoyed another show. Can I encourage you to challenge each other? Just challenge each other. Come on. Why don't we just lift up the standard in our home, someone? Come on. Let's lift up the standard and prove to God, God, we're not going to destroy this beautiful wall you've built around us that protects us. We're not going to open small doors and allow these little things to come in. And all of a sudden, we're thinking, gee, how did our lives get so out of control? No, we're not going to be that person. We're going to keep moving forward. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 says this. It says, but among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality. A hint. I like that. He says, or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. What's it saying? Don't open small doors. That's what it's saying. Get away from this stuff. I'll often talk to some young adults who have just started dating, and they ask this question. Pastor Rich, can I just pull you aside for a moment? Pastor Rich, how far can we go? How far can we go? And I'm thinking, that's not the right question, my friend. No. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 says this. It says, but you, man or woman of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness and godliness and faith and love and endurance and gentleness. What's it saying? You shouldn't be asking how far you can go. You should be asking how far you can flee from that stuff. We're supposed to be running from it so that it doesn't capture us, so that we don't end up opening a small door because one thing leads to another thing, and then we find ourselves guilt-ridden, and then we're feeling so bad about things that ultimately it can really hurt your relationship, friends. Now, don't ask how close you can get to it. Ask how far you can run from it until the day comes that you can then do whatever you like, of course. But until then, hey, come on, let's not be that person. Let's not be that couple. You know, I've never had anyone say to me, oh, look over there, there's a rattlesnake. I wonder how close I can get to it. I've never had anyone say, I wonder how close I can get to a poisonous, venomous snake, and I wonder how close I can get my hand to... No. Have you ever seen those YouTube videos? Actually, I'm tempted to just show you one right now where you know, this guy, he's getting a snake and he's putting it into a jar, but then he starts playing around with it and he starts showing off. Next thing you know, the snake bites him. And that man ended up in the hospital for 3 months until he actually recovered from that snake venom. Friends, don't ask how close you can get to it. Ask how far can I get away from it until it's appropriate. Amen. You know, some of you would know about the bald-headed eagle. It's a majestic eagle. And you know, the bald-headed eagle doesn't have any predators. Nothing can kill this thing, as in no one's trying to kill it. Except once in a while, when it makes its way down from the cleft of a cliff, okay, because that's where they build their nests, and when it finally comes down, sometimes crows will often see it coming, and because the crows are trying to protect their nests, they actually start to attack the eagle, but they don't do it on their own, because a crow is only so big and a bald-headed eagle is very large. So what they do is they gather together in groups. It's actually called a murder of crows. Did you know that? A murder. It's called a murder. A murder of crows get together and they start chasing the eagle to try and kill it, right? So what does an eagle do? When the crows are trying to get you, what do you do? So you know what the eagle does? He just gets his wings and he starts flapping. And he starts getting higher, and he catches a thermal, and he just gets higher and higher until the crows just cannot climb to his level. Did you get that? He just goes higher and higher. He gets closer and closer to the sun, but the crows can't climb with him. And I want to encourage all of us, hey, listen, let's not dwell with the crows of life. Let's not hang out with the bottom level where people's lives are totally out of control and trying to get us involved in that stuff. Hey, where's the couple? Come on, this is a relationship series. Where's the couple that say, you know what, we're not going to do that. We're going to be like the eagle that just gets closer and closer to the sun. Not just the hot sun, the Son of God. Where's that couple that just decide we're going to get closer and closer? But what you'll find is you will leave the crows behind. And some of us need to leave the crows behind so that we can fly like an eagle where there are no predators. Let's not surround ourselves with predators, guys. Let's keep elevating ourselves. Now, listen, this is a great time for me to pause, because I know that there are some husbands right now. I know that there are some wives right now, some partners, some fiancés, some boyfriends, girlfriends that are elbowing right now saying, are you listening to this? Please don't use this message as a legalistic tool. Okay, that's not how it works, friends. I'm not saying that you should be watching a TV show and your partner still wants to watch it and you don't want to watch it. Now you have an argument about it. No, what I'm saying is, why doesn't everyone make up their own mind as to what you want to do? You know, the Bible talks about having self-control, not partner control. Now you need to decide what small doors am I not willing to open now? And let's just concentrate on ourselves. This isn't the time that we start putting all of our values and our beliefs and our convictions upon our partner. Friends, don't do that. It's really destructive. Just think to yourself right now, what doors am I just not willing to open? You know, I've got a little home gym at the moment that I'm really enjoying. And obviously I just go onto Spotify and I just start playing some songs. And, you know, you start listening to the lyrics. I listen to the lyrics of songs and I'm sort of working out. And I've got to tell you, some of these lyrics are horrible. I mean, if I listen to those lyrics, I will walk out of that room, leave my wife, go buy, some type of clothing and jewelry and start doing stuff around the world and taking some sort of drugs. And you know what? I've decided I don't want to listen to that stuff. So I'll actually put some praise, funky praise music on. And by the time I'm finished working out, I've heard about Jesus and how he loves me and how God's got a plan for my life rather than the whole world is falling apart. Come on, make a decision. What small doors are you possibly opening up right now? You know, you've all heard about the God pyramid. The God pyramid is, you know, you're here and she's there. And, you know, as you're climbing toward God and she's climbing toward God, you're both climbing toward each other. So there's a huge benefit, friend, in you climbing toward God and wanting to get there. Small things, friends, small things matter. Admiral William McRaven says this. He was talking to a group of influencers. He says, if you want to change the world, start by making your bed. How can that possibly make a difference? Friends, when you look at a bed that you've just made, that's the first task that's done. It's just a small thing. But you know, when you come home at night and you see a bed that's freshly made, it does something to your spirit. It actually does. You don't feel like your life is out of control. Hey, listen, if you can't do the little things, then you'll never do the big things right. You know, I spoke to a young lady and her husband had just taken her out to a beautiful 5-star restaurant, obviously pre-COVID, right? And I said, what was the highlight of this particular restaurant? What was the highlight of the restaurant? Do you know what she said the highlight was? That when he opened the door for her, and as they walked across the car park, he put the palm of his hand on her back as they walked across the car park. That was her highlight, not the restaurant or the food or the atmosphere or the expensive bill. It was the fact that he walked with her and he was cherishing her. Friends, the small things. Focus on the small things. I think they're so important. Luke chapter 19, verse 17, it says, well done, good servant, his master replied. Because you've been trustworthy in a very small matter, he says, you can take charge of 10 cities. Does anybody want to be in charge of 10 cities where God just starts to trust you with a bigger relationship, a bigger business, a bigger everything? Hey, if you want to be in charge of 10 cities, then focus on the small matters. You know, just last night, before we sat down to watch something on telly, Helen said, hey, hun, do you mind taking out the rubbish bin because it's a bit smelly? And I said, yeah, sure, I'll do it for you, no problem. As soon as we watch this show, I will get up and I'll do that. And so she sat down. So Helen goes to bed and then I'm getting up to go to bed and I walk past the bin and I look at it and I go, I'll do it tomorrow morning. It's the same thing, tonight, tomorrow morning. And as I walk away, I promise you, without a word of a lie, the Spirit of God says, don't be a liar. What? He's talking to me. Don't be a liar. And I thought, but it's just, don't be a liar. You said you would take out, small things matter, friends. Because my wife would have woken up the next morning and she would have seen the bin was still there. Now, she would have forgiven me and thought, oh, he did it again. But what happens when I go to present something really big to her where I say, honey, I promise I will, whatever it may be, I promise, she'll be thinking, well, hang on a minute, the last 10 little things that you said you would do, you didn't do. So how can I trust you with this big thing? Come on, keep your word. Ladies, I know you're loving me right now. And guys, you're like ducking for cover. I'm so sorry. But guys, it's true. We've got to keep our word. Ladies, it applies to you as well. Keep your word. It's a small thing, but it matters to your friend. It matters to God. I'm talking a lot about Netflix lately. We're obviously in COVID, right? But I've just watched this show called Cobra Kai. Anyone else watching Cobra Kai? I'm loving Cobra Kai. Cobra Kai is like a sequel of The Karate Kid. Okay, some of us remember that. That's probably more my generation. And it's been interesting because the main character, which is, I think, Daniel LaRusso, who's the Karate Kid, he's older now, and his opponent from when he was younger, he's also older. They've both got their own sort of dojos going on where they study karate. And so Daniel LaRusso wants to do what he was taught to do by Mr. Miyagi, okay? Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about here. And so some of you may remember back in the old days, the Karate Kid days, do you remember what Mr. Miyagi made Daniel LaRusso do? Do you remember what he made? Do you remember he made him wax windows or cars. I can't remember what it was. Remember, he was waxing things, and he had to wax that way, and he also had to wax that way, and then he had to paint walls, and he had to paint that way and paint that way. And by doing that, eventually when he ended up in a fight, because he was doing the little things over and over again, when he was in a fight and someone threw a punch at him, he was like, he was able to block it. So this guy decides, well, I'm going to do the same thing with these young kids. And so he invites all these young kids and they go, come on, teach us karate. And he says, great, guys, go start sanding down the decking. And you know what they say? That's child labor. That's illegal. And they don't want to do the little things. They don't want to do the little things that he did to get to where he now is. And you know what? Can I just encourage you? You know, that's just a humorous illustration of the wax on, wax off. But do you know, in life, when you do the little things right, when you're keeping your word, when you just decide, I'm not going to watch that, when you're just doing the little things, do you know when the big things come along, you're able to overcome it. When the big things, and some of us think, I would easily take on a big thing. But friends, it's not the way it works. King David was able to take on Goliath because he was taking on bears and lions when he was looking after the sheep. He was doing the little things. He was doing the little things over and over and over and over and over again, that finally when it came to the big thing, the little things kicked over, kicked in. And he was able to just do what he's been doing over there, over here. And that's my challenge to all of us today. Come on. All of us want to live big lives. You've got the call of God on your life. God wants to achieve great things through you, but we need to prove ourselves through the little things so that we don't become the sort of person that opens up the small doors that can come in and destroy everything. Come on. Are we opening up small doors of encouragement with our partner? Or are they small doors of criticism? Are they small doors of lust? Or are they small doors of love? Because whichever door you open, friends, things come through that door. Are they small doors of fear into your partner? Oh, I don't think you can achieve that. Or are they small doors of faith? Are they small doors of doubt? Or are they small doors of confidence? And some of you might be thinking right now, oh man, I think I've really ruined this. I think I have opened too many small doors. Friends, we serve a God that just says, if you will make a decision today, and you just decide, Lord, I'm not doing that anymore. But friends, there is one small door you do need to open. And it starts with this one small door. And it doesn't matter how long you've been walking with God, it's that same small door. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus says, look, I stand at the door, he says, and I knock. He says, if you hear my voice and you open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Some of you might be thinking, wow, I just think I've opened up too many negative doors. Hey, you may have. But if you will open up that one small door and let the power of God, the power of Jesus back into your life, friends, he's got the ability to close those negative doors, to be able to undo the damage of the past. But we've got to allow him through his miraculous power to come in. I know that there are some of you thinking, I've spoken too many negative words over my children. But today, friends, if you would just ask Jesus to come into your heart, he will begin to speak through you and healing and wholeness will come. Some of you may have spoken negative words over your partner and you've pulled them down way too much over the years. But the Bible says that you can undo that by speaking encouragement now and bringing the wholeness and healing through your words. Come on, right now, friend, will you allow Jesus to just come into your heart? But he says, behold, I stand at the door and he knocks. In other words, friends, he won't bash down the door. It's your decision to let him in. And can I encourage you today? Let him in. Let him in and let him work through you. Some of you have heard my testimony over and over again. And my parents, whom I love dearly, and they, you know, at the end of their lives, they're both in heaven now. My gosh, they were going for God. But their relationship while I was really young was really destructive. And the things that I've seen, friends, it was terrible. But Jesus working through me, the doors that I would have opened into my relationship that I haven't because of his spirit, his power, the way he's changed the way I think, he can do that for you. Of course he can.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.